All right, if you want to flip to that chapter together, Daniel 7, verses 1 through 18, we'll follow along. Here's what it says. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And the four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and behold, another, like a leopard, with 4 wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which 3 of the 1st horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking. And as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These 4 great beasts are 4 kings who shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. You can be seated.
It is good to see you this morning. I am excited about the passage that we are in today. It is very, very exciting to me when we get to talk about these prophetic areas. This is an area that I would normally run to, but I love the hope that we find in this passage. I like sports. I'm not a huge sports guy, but I like them. I grew up watching sports, and I remember being a little boy, and there used to be a show on that would come on Saturdays, and it was called ABC's Wide World of Sports. Anybody remember that? Got a few of you who do? Yeah. One of the things that was really unique about that is they would start, and the host or the announcer, his name was Jim McKay, and he had this iconic voice, and they would have all of these pictures of great sporting things that would happen, and he would talk about the thrill of victory, and then he would talk about the agony of defeat, and you would see these people splatting all over the place. I mean, just these great falls. You know, in the Winter Olympics, when they would do, when they still do those ski jumps, you know, where you're coming down that long slope, that ramp, they pick up that speed, and all of a sudden they come off the end of it and they like lean out. Isn't that so cool? Well, they would always end. There's this piece where this guy doesn't make it, and he like just tumbles and rolls, becomes a big snowball. And he'd go, "The agony of defeat." Hey, listen, I have a defeated moment. Really have a defeated season, to be real honest with you. I was a soccer coach for like 6 and 7 year olds. All right, I'm not a big soccer guy. It created in me a desire to want to learn more about soccer. But, you know, I didn't know anything about soccer, nothing about soccer. And they didn't have a coach. And so another parent said, "Hey, why don't we do this together?" All right, so I went home, watched a little YouTube, found me a book, got online, and I'm about to give you everything you need to know right here about coaching 6-year-old soccer. I would tell them, "All right, guys, you got to be aggressive. You charge the person who has the ball because it's going to scare them because they're 6. They're going to stop. Then you can take the ball and go score." So I'd stand on the sidelines and I would yell, "Aggressive, be aggressive, be aggressive. Go, go, charge them, charge them." People would look at me and then they'd get the ball and I'd say, "Pass it to Andre, pass it to Andre. He knows what to do." That was the extent. Find the kid who knows what to do, be aggressive, pass it to him. You know, we didn't win a lot of games. We didn't win a lot of games. But you've probably seen this. I remember where we would do the little run out. You know, all the parents hold their hands. Like, y'all know what I'm talking about because you've done it. And the kids are running out. And what happens when the first kid trips? The agony of defeat right there, isn't it? Literally, the feet go everywhere. You're trying to keep these kids motivated, and the only way I could figure out as a coach to keep them motivated wasn't the thrill of victory. It was snack time. So at halftime, you always had somebody going, "What's for snack?" And you figure out, okay, we got to get a good snack so these kids will stay motivated through the rest of this thing. Heck, I needed a good snack so I'd stay motivated through the rest of this thing. Today, this passage gives us a picture, gives us a lot of pictures, as a matter of fact, because as we move into apocalyptic literature, I don't know if you noticed when Zion was reading, the first 6 chapters of Daniel is all about narrative. It's telling these great stories. It's telling about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, talking about Daniel in the lion's den. All of these great stories. Now, I want to be really clear with you. What chapter 7 and beyond tells us, it is a narrative of some sort, because it says that Daniel had a dream. He had a vision, and I believe that. It was a real dream and a real vision. But it moves into what's called apocalyptic literature. And that word apocalyptic is a Greek word that means it's apocalypsis. If you were with us during Revelation, we talked about what is apocalyptic literature. Apocalyptic literature, it's pictures that reveal. That word apocalypsis means to reveal. And in Revelation, the Apostle John, it was revealed to him what was going to happen in the end days. Well, Daniel, which was written a few thousand years before the New Testament book of Revelation, you have more revealing. In fact, much of what we're going to read over the next 5 weeks, you would find in Revelation. Revelation uses Daniel. Daniel points to Revelation. So if you were not here a couple of years ago, it's hard to believe, when we went through the book of Revelation, I would encourage you to go back on the media player, check online, because what Daniel is doing here is he's going to reveal to us something, only because it was revealed to him in several visions. And today, you're going to see, we're going to talk a little bit about, what does it look like for us as believers? Those of you who are followers of Jesus Christ, those of you who surrendered your life to Jesus, you've come under the blood of Christ. What does it look for us to walk in a time that looks like great agony? And would you say that we live in a time of great agony? You know, as much as we walk in the thrill of victory, you have marriages, you have graduations, you have promotions, you've got all, I mean, listen, your kids flying the nest. I mean, they launch and they launch well. Those are great. That's a thrill of a victory for a parent. But you know, they're also, we walk in great days of like what feels like agony, though, don't we? I mean, there are businesses that go belly up. There's bankruptcies. There are relational issues. As much as I hate to say it, divorce comes in, or death. What seems like untimely death. But I think what we're going to see here in this passage, what I want us to see, is that in the midst of the agony that we walk in, that as believers, we can experience the thrill of victory of the cross of Christ. Because of what Jesus has done, we're able to walk in the day that he's placed us. And I'm one of these guys that I like to get to the end and then tell you about it and then come back and walk you forward. Because what I want you to be able to hang on to throughout this message is what we see in chapter 7, verse 16, 17, and 18. Verse 16, 17, and 18. And if you think that this is a hard, like, visions to catch and understand, Daniel had that same thing. Daniel didn't quite understand what it was that he was seeing. And he had to ask, hey, tell me what it is that I'm seeing here. And here's what the angels tell him. Verse 16, he says, I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all of this. So he told me, and he made known to me the interpretation of these things. I want to stop right there. Verse 16, he says, he made known to me the interpretation of these things. Okay? He made known to me the interpretation of these things. Look at verse 17 and 18. He says, these four great beasts are the four kings who shall rise out of the earth. Verse 18, circle, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever, and ever. Listen, folks, we're in a time. I made the mistake, maybe, I don't know, of turning, like flipping on my phone this morning after my quiet time and reading through the news and the headlines. Our world is jacked, is it? I mean, it is like the wheels are coming off. But you realize it's not just the wheels of the international world. You realize our nation feels like the wheels are coming off. And we ain't even got to election season yet. I mean, our things in our state, some of you are going, have you seen my home? Do you know what's happening in my personal life? Folks, I want to say this to you. This is the central verse of this entire chapter, these three verses, because in the midst of what we're walking through as believers, and I need you to hear this, if you check out the rest of the week, the rest of this next 20 minutes or so, you got to hear this. In the middle of the agony that we're walking in, you realize as believers we can experience the victory today. We can walk in victory because of what Jesus has done on the cross. We can do that. We can do that. Listen, it's not going to get better. I want you to hear this. Overall, your situation may get a little bit better. It may not. But you can walk in victory because of what Christ has done. So today, if you're in the middle of it and you're going, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know what. Turn to Jesus. Okay, so with that, let's go back and walk through a little bit of this. I'm gonna walk quickly. So I want you to write and listen quickly. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, Daniel says that he saw four winds of heaven and they were stirring up a great sea. When you're talking about apocalyptic literature, you're talking about symbols. You're talking about generalities. These are symbols and pictures that tell the truth. There really are bad days. There really are days that are coming that are going to get worse and worse and worse. But the writer, and the writer is Daniel, he's writing down, because it says, I saw, I looked, I behold, I saw, I looked, I behold, all throughout there, like 9 different times. And so what he's doing is he sees something that God has shown him. He shows him a picture, and then he has to write it all down. Have you ever been in that situation? Where like you see this thing, you see these things happening, and then all of a sudden you got to write it all down. So he's writing down a situation that really happened. And he says, listen, I see these four winds. I see, and they're stirring up a great chaos. You remember from Revelation that the sea is a place of chaos. It's a place of chaos. And when you hear the four winds, it means like the entire world, north, south, east, and west. Everything's in chaos right now. Isaiah chapter 17, I'm going to give you a lot of passages over the next several weeks. Isaiah 17, Isaiah actually refers to the nations as the sea, about them being in chaos and that there being nations and peoples. They're all in chaos. And so he says, listen, I see chaos, this first vision. And then in verses 4-8, as Ian read, and he talked about what these four beasts, all right? He talks about these four beasts. Now, some of you may be going, okay, I want to know about this one and this one and this one and this one and this one. If we're not careful, what can happen here? What can happen is that we're going to miss the forest for the trees. You ever been out somewhere and like walking through a forest, being in Smoky Mountains or something, and you're with somebody and all they want to do is tell you about this tree and this tree and this tree and this plant and this plant and this tree, and you're wanting to stand back and go, hey, wait a minute, we're in a beautiful forest. Don't miss the forest. The trees are important. You need to hear me. The trees are important. But if we're not careful, we'll get so hung up on the individual tree that we miss the fact that God is on his throne and that he is in charge, he is ruling, and that we can walk in the situation that we're in today. All right? So with that, he starts talking about these beasts, and it says they're like animals. It doesn't say they are. He says it's like, because this is a supernatural vision that's been given to him. He's never seen anything like this, so he's having to compare it to something. And notice what he says in verses 4-8. I'm going to walk through that real quickly. He says this. He says the lion was well known. The lion had it had eagle's wings. Well, the lion was the dominant symbol of Babylon. And these eagle's wings, most commentators believe that this was a Babylon, and that these wings are how fast Babylon took over the world. And it says that at some point, this bear with eagle's wings, all the feathers were plucked and it fell. Many commentators would say this would be symbolism of Nebuchadnezzar. Do you remember when Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind? He was plucked. And it goes on to say that after a time, this lion stood up on its feet and took on the heart of a man. And they would say, this is Nebuchadnezzar when he came back to his senses and had the kingdom. The second beast that he says is like a bear. Well, a bear, most would say, many would say, conservative commentators, that this symbolizes Persia. These ribs in his mouth would have been the three countries that Persia overtook so that it would be the dominant ruler. The third beast that he said is it was like a leopard. That third beast was like a leopard, and it had four heads, and it was swift, had wings, and many commentators, most conservatives, would say this would be symbolic of Alexander the Great and the speed at which Alexander the Great overtook the Persians and became the next kingdom to rise, that last kingdom, that last beast, the one that he couldn't even describe. Did you catch that? He said, he couldn't describe it. He said it had 10 horns. Out of those 10 horns, there were all these heads. There were 10 horns. Then another horn came up out of it that was small, had eyes. It kept spouting all these things. It killed off 10 of the other, or three of the other kings, three of the other horns. Most would say that this was a picture of Rome, that this was a picture of Rome and all the kings and all the kingdoms that would come. And that little horn is the Antichrist, the one who will come at the last, who will speak all kinds of blasphemy. Now, I want to back up here for a minute. I want to make sure that you catch this. Okay? Make sure you catch this. This should not be unrealistic to you, because every kingdom, every empire, every, they have symbols, don't we? I mean, what is America? America's the eagle. What was Russia? The bear. What is China? Great dragon. They're a dragon. So, I mean, listen, kingdoms and kings, they're symbolized by something. You realize there's no great kingdom, no great superpower that has a gerbil or a hamster for their symbol. None. You want something that's fierce, something that's ferocious, something that's going to stand out. Aren't we glad that the United States did not follow Benjamin Franklin with the turkey? Listen, turkey is best when it's roasted and peppered, all right? That's not what you want for your national symbol. This vision scared Daniel to death. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious He was upset. He was nervous. And the visions of my head alarmed me. Look at verse 28. Verse 28, he says, here is the end of the matter. Okay, I'm gonna bow this up. This is it. Here's the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarmed. My thoughts greatly alarmed me, and my color changed. But I kept all this in my heart. Listen, this is the same Daniel who faced the king, who got on his knees and he prayed, even when he wasn't supposed to, who went to the lion's den and he's had a vision, and now he's scared to death. Whoa. Listen, I don't know what you're facing today. Some of you came in here and you're facing what could be an agonizing situation. Could be death of a relationship, death of a business, death of a family, death of a loved one. But I need you to remember verses 16, 17, and 18, that there is one who is still on the throne. He has not left. It has not caught him off guard. He is sovereignly in control, and he has placed you exactly where he desires you to be. Exactly where he desires you to be. And there are going to be great turmoil that will still continue to come. Did you notice that in this passage, there's one kingdom and one ruler, there's another kingdom, then another ruler, there's another kingdom, then another ruler? Do you ever feel like you get over one hit and another hit comes? Yeah, such is common to man. I don't want you to blow by this. Daniel has lived in exile. He was taken from his homeland as a captive. He hasn't been back home. Do you realize that Daniel is going to die in captivity? You say, well, I want that kind of captivity. He rose up through the ranks, and man, he's got a life and all those things. Yeah, but you realize he also had to go to the lion's den. He's gone through three different over. This would be, by the time his life is over, there's been three different kings that have come in from successive different countries. Listen, he's had... Again, Lord, but all he does is continue to be faithful in the place that he's in. And whatever it is that you're facing today, whatever it is that you're walking in, whatever that agony of defeat may be in your life, I want to remind you that God is on his throne. He has not abdicated. He knows where you are. He has allowed this to come to you, and you are okay. You're going to be okay. I can't tell you that Daniel got out of Babylon. He died in captivity. I can't guarantee you that he's going to get you out of your situation. But what I can tell you is that you can still stand and be strong in the midst of where it is that he's put you. You realize that any great war, any great battle, that if a soldier ends up dying in battle and that country continues on, that war continues on, and they eventually win that war, that soldier's death in the battle was not for nothing. You see, God has placed you where you are, and in the midst of that, you can stand strong. But I don't want us to forget the beast, all of these terrible-looking things, all the stuff that is Daniel describes in these visions, and in that vision of all these beasts, that's not the central point. Now, the central point begins to happen in verses 9 and 10. Look at 9 and 10. In verses 9 and 10, he begins to focus in on the victor and the victory that happens. He begins to explain and talk about the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is God. God himself. Nobody denies that. All commentators believe that he is God. It says that shortly after, the Son of Man is going to come before him, which is Christ. And they're going to put all evil rulers, the scripture tells us, under their feet. It says that the Ancient of Days, as it describes him, it says that he has white clothes, white hair. Now, because this is symbolic, I want to make sure you understand, this is not an old man God sitting up on the throne. This white symbolizes purity and holiness like none other. That he is holy and righteous. Notice that he is sitting on his throne. He's not walking around wringing his hands wondering. He is sitting on his throne. The scripture tells us that on his throne there is fire that is coming out. It talks about the wheels, the chariot. his chariot. I don't know if you recognize this, but Ezekiel and Daniel are contemporaries. They both were in exile together at the same time in Babylon, and they both received very similar visions of what the end would look like. And they both describe this type of chariot, this type of throne. Verse 10 says that he opens up the books. He opens up the books. The books of the deeds are brought before him. Is any of this sounding familiar to you? I want you to write down a couple of passages because I want you to go back. 9 and 10, you see all throughout the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 11, Revelation chapter 19. All of them picture this exact scene. You see, God has given allowances for the agony that we walk through. God has given allowances for those kingdoms of Babylon and those successive kingdoms that would come to rule and to overthrow. He's allowed those to happen. But I need you to see this. Daniel was given a peek. Remember, apocalypse means to reveal. Daniel was given a little peek behind the curtain. Daniel, what's coming? Did this vision remind you of another vision that we saw in chapter 2? Remember when Nebuchadnezzar had a vision and he didn't know what to do about the heads, the head, the breast, the body, the feet? The kingdoms would topple. Most commentators will tell you, this is another picture of this to say, Daniel, listen, what you told Nebuchadnezzar, it's about to happen. It's about to happen. And Daniel, I want to reveal to you that I'm still on my throne. Daniel, what you told Nebuchadnezzar, it's going to happen. I'm still here. And Daniel, know this, it's going to keep getting worse, but I'm still here. In the midst of everything you're walking through, Daniel, in the midst of where my country, where my people, the Hebrews, the Israelites, the Jewish people are, I'm still on my throne. I'm the one that is allowing this to happen. And follower of Jesus in here today, one of the privileges, but responsibilities of being your pastor is I get to look out right here and I know many of your stories. And I know what you're walking through. Or I think I do, from what you've shared. And about the only thing I can give you sometimes is this, is that Jesus is on his throne. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He loves you. He gave his life for you. He will not run out on you. And as a believer, you can walk in the thrill of victory. Not your victory, but his victory. His victory on the cross. Of which we've said, by his stripes, we've been healed. He didn't just walk up to death. He defeated death. He died so that you and I might not taste the sting of death, separation from him. Oh, we may die. In fact, if he doesn't come back at a certain point, everyone in here is going to die. Some of you sooner than others. I think that's important for us to catch, that in the life that you're living right now, we may never assemble like this again. Who knows why? God knows why. But it will be by his ordained plan. And whatever it is, I need you to know, he is in control. So what you're dealing with today, know this, take heart, Jesus is on his throne. Whatever you're walking in, take heart. The Ancient of Days, he's allowed it to pass to you because it came before him first. So Kyle, what do I do with this? This is all great stuff. Yeah, so what? What do I do now? I'm going to give you two really quick points. They're not going to be on the screen, and they're going to be pretty basic, just to be honest with you. I'm a basic guy. I need things really, really simple. I repeat things a lot, probably not for you, but for me, because it leaks out on me really quick. Point one that I want in the middle of this, because we're talking about what does it mean to be bold? How do we stay bold in the midst of what we're walking in today? Well, here's the first thing. I want you to know God's already won the victory. You see, we forget that sometimes, and we think that we have to do all of this stuff. I've got to take on this. I've got to do this, when in reality, he's won the victory. We sit and we look to him. Listen, what Daniel saw scared him. Did you catch that? I was alarmed. I was anxious. His eyes saw something, and then noticed the second vision that the second vision he saw was the Ancient of Days sitting on his throne. Oh, listen, God is in control. He's got this. He knows where we are. It still didn't change the fact that there were going to be some things that wreaked havoc for a period of time, and he had to walk through some things. Look at verse 24. Verse 24, he says this, "As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom, 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be different from the former ones and shall put down these three kings." Listen, kingdoms are going to come, kingdoms are going to go. Trials are going to come, trials are going to go. It's going to keep coming. Listen, in our world today, there are all kinds of things that we could begin to, that could get our minds off of, that may feel like agony and death. Stock markets are crashing, wars all around, like multiple wars. It feels like you're getting drug into it by our own country. There are leaders that have always been identified that they're going to be antichrist. So what, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Nabonidus, Hitler, Osama, Hussein, Putin, keep going. You realize that if we're not careful, though, we have to go, listen, people in other countries look back to the West. Where we're looking to the East, they look back to the West and go, the great dragon over there. Look at this. Folks, you see, in every culture, in every society, at every time, the Word of God says that Babylon is always attacking his people, but you can remain strong. It doesn't matter the philosophy, the ideology. It doesn't matter the gender confusion, the sexuality things. Do you realize as a follower of Jesus Christ, you can stand and be strong. You can be the Daniel of the day, in your day. Not that you have to like buck up, but you're going to stand. This is the word of the Lord. It's going to get worse, but I can stand because of the Ancient of Days is on his throne today. I get to meet with him. He's going to embolden me. He's going to power me. When I am weak, I become strong because my eyes are fixed on the throne room and I see the Ancient of Days there. And then he gives you another picture. Look at verses 13 and 14. Verses 13 and 14. In fact, look at 25 before I get to 13 and 14. It's going to continue to get crazy. He says, verse 25, he says, "He shall speak words." This is that Antichrist. That little horn that keeps talking these great words, all this blasphemy that he's pouring out. "He shall speak words against the Most High," notice this, "and shall wear out the saints of the Most High." Do you ever feel like as a believer you're just worn out? They just keep coming. It just keeps coming. "He shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and a half time." Listen, this is just him saying, listen, this is what's coming. You got to be ready. But I am on the throne. In fact, verse 13 and 14, he shows us another. He says in verse 13 and 14, he says, "I saw in the night visions, and behold," I don't know if this is a third vision or the third part of one vision, but he says, "and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him." Does that sound familiar from Daniel? All peoples and languages and nations should serve him. "His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed." Daniel says, "I saw one. It was like the Son of Man. He came to the Ancient of Days, and the Ancient of Days gave him all authority." Did you know that in the New Testament, the title, the Son of Man, is the title most used by Jesus himself to refer to himself? Straight from Daniel. Matthew 24, turn over there. Matthew 24 is in the New Testament, in case you don't know. Matthew chapter 24. Verses 29 through 31, Matthew 24, 29 through 31, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days," the trials of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all of the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Listen, you who are distressed, who are down, who are in agony, who are facing defeat, who are wondering, can I get up again? The blows keep coming. Body blow, body blow, body blow. Jesus Christ is alive and well. We serve a God, a great God, who conquered death, hell, and the grave, who not only went to the cross, not only was put in a tomb, not only came out of the tomb, but has ascended to the Father. And today it says he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's alive and well. We can walk in the days that he's given us. We can do that. He is sovereign. Why does he have dominion over all? Because he's the only one that conquered death, so that you and I might never be separated from him because of his death and us surrendering to follow him. Look at verse 26 and 27, and I close out. But the court shall sit in judgment and his dominion. Please circle the court shall sit in judgment. The court shall sit in judgment and his dominion shall be taken away to be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Listen, what you're walking through today is only but a small thing. For us, it may feel like it's overwhelming. It may feel like I'm not going to make it. I wish I could tell you that you will make it out of it. I don't know that. But I do know, because Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, all dominion, all power, all glory has been given to him. He rules and he reigns today. He sits on the throne, just like the Heavenly Father sits on the throne. He doesn't wring his hands. He's not pacing. Oh, no. What's going to happen? Is he going to make it? No. He knows what has come your way. He knows what's coming your way. And how did Daniel see this? One, it was revealed to him. And the revealing of it to him was this. God is on his throne. Daniel, it's going to get worse. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I truly believe that. There's going to be a day. Listen, there's always been antichrist, those who are against Christ, and there always will be those who are against Christ. I do believe there's going to be one last one, and it will be the worst one of all. I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't believe that things are just going to get better and better and better and better and better. I think things are going to continue to swirl to chaos, to chaos, to chaos, to chaos. The scripture tells us this. But Daniel was given a revealing that we can stand today because the Ancient of Days is on his throne. He is sovereignly in control. And what has come your way, he knows. And he will strengthen you for that day. Just as Daniel stared at the Ancient of Days, just as Daniel saw the Son of Man coming, here's my question to you. What are you staring at today? Who are you staring at? Are you staring at the God of the universe? Do you get up to meet him, to soak in him, so that you have strength and power to walk in the day? Because listen, it is an agonizing day, and it's going to take his power for us to make it through. We're not strong because of what we've done. We're strong because of what he has done. There is no power given that will overtake you except that which the Lord has ordained. And I don't know what that looks like. Listen, the power doesn't reside in Rome. It doesn't reside in Beijing. It doesn't reside in Moscow. It doesn't reside in Nashville. It doesn't reside in Tennessee. True power, all glory, all dominion resides in heaven where our God, the Ancient of Days, resides. That is what gives us strength to walk on. My question for you today is this, is that those books that are being opened up, is your name written in that Lamb's Book of Life? If not, he desires to save you. Follower of Christ, let me ask you this. What deeds are being written about you in that book? Not deeds towards salvation, but deeds because you've been given salvation. Father, I love you and I honor you. I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. And I'm asking, Father, would you please, Father, accomplish all that you desire because of the singing of your word, the reading of your word, and now the expression and response to the word. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things today. Amen.